read, read books, books.
Could hoppity hippity hoppity off to a different land,
or at least Bookland.
Yeah, that's true. We'll take this one, and we're very excited to be where we are. So this morning we have two wonderful booksellers from an amazing independent bookstore in our region joining us with books that we should pay attention to. We welcome Connie Brooks and Suzanne Kulik from Battenkill Books in Cambridge, New York. It is a delight to have both Connie and Suzanne here. Thank you very much for being with us. Wonderful.
It's a delight to be here.
Thank you very much.
It definitely is.
Appreciate it. All right, Suzanne, let's begin with you.
All right. So my first book is a historical fiction novel, which admittedly is not my usual genre. It is called The Book Club for Troublesome Women by Marie Bostwick, published by Harper Muse. This book released in April, and the title caught my eye as soon as it arrived to the store, especially having been part of a book club with several friends for several years now. But recently I was having trouble getting into a new book I was reading, and I asked my sister for a recommendation. That was when I picked it up and pretty much didn't put it down. The book is about a group of housewives in 1963 who start a book club. They start by reading The Feminine Mystique, and we follow them as they are inspired by both the books they read as well as each other to challenge the cookie-cutter mold expected of 1960s housewives. This book was obviously written in a time where a lot of change was happening in the country. Can't imagine what that's like. And I think that anybody who was a fan of Lessons in Chemistry will love this book, too.
It's The Book Club for Troublesome Women by Marie Bostwick. All right. Connie.
All right. Well, Suzanne and I were talking in the green room before this, and I said that I will avoid watching horror on, you know, movies,
yeah,
television.
Yeah.
I will do anything to avoid it. I'm the person who's sitting there with the pillow up to my eyeballs, but I like to read horror. And I think a lot of people who don't love to watch horror are afraid to read horror, and I would say give it a try. So I brought one of my favorite recent horror novels, which is a novel called Honey Eater, and it's by the Australian writer Kathleen Jennings. Now, in the story, Charlie is a young man who he's very much at loose ends. He can't seem to find his place in the world. And he would very much like to leave town for good, except for the unfortunate fact that he is the last known associate of not one, not two, but several missing people, which is an unfortunate thing. And the police have told him he has to stick around. So when his sister asks him to clear out and clean up their dead aunt's house, he can't say no. He has no excuse.
Yeah.
So almost as soon as Charlie returns to the neighborhood where he and his sister were raised after the death of their parents, a mysterious woman arrives at the house. Grace isn't sure who she is or why she is there. All she knows is that it's Charlie's surname on her lips. And she and Charlie begin to unravel long-buried secrets of the neighborhood and a violent episode from Charlie's past. But it's a race against time as Grace seems to be deteriorating every day. And you might say, deteriorating, what do you mean? And though inexplicable, it seems that plants are pushing themselves up and out of Grace's body. In particular, thorny roses that are circling and trying to erupt from her neck and back. That's where the horror comes in, but it's not where it stops. I've read Kathleen Jennings before. She is a horror writer par excellence. Her horror is the kind that kind of oozes and creeps up on you. Her descriptions are so vivid, you'll find yourself clawing at your own neck. She's really that good.
Wonderful. The name of the book is Honey Eater by Kathleen Jennings. Suzanne.
All right. So as of last week, I still was not sure what books I was going to talk about today. I hemmed and hawed. I walked around the store. I picked up books. I put them down. I read a few pages here. And then I stumbled upon my next book, The Overthinker's Guide to Making Decisions.
Well, How to Make Decisions.
How to Make Decisions Without Losing Your Mind by Joseph Nguyen, published by Authors Equity. This book has some interesting insights as to what causes us to overthink our choices, which is mainly fear. Fear of letting somebody down, fear of the unknown. And he walks us through what we can do to overcome that fear. And as an oldest child and also a perfectionist, I'm still learning that it is actually okay to be wrong sometimes and to make a wrong choice.
It
and
really is.
Go with it.
It is.
So the first part of the book explains the author's philosophy in a very clear and concise manner. And the second part of the book is a workbook that helps you make decisions easier and practice and reflect on the techniques he lays out in the first part of the book. I still have some practice and reflection to do, but I certainly gained some wisdom from this book, and I think others like me who struggle with decisions will as well.
Terrific. The name of the book is The Overthinker's Guide to Making Decisions, How to Make Decisions Without Losing Your Mind. Joseph Nguyen is the author, and good stuff.
Our joke at the shop is this is an impossible book to sell because the person who needs to buy the book is going to overthink it. So
yes,
we're here to tell you just to buy the book.
Just buy the book.
Just shut up. All right, next up.
We can't really call it another horror novel, but it perhaps would be best classified as psychological fiction. This is The Book of Guilt by Catherine Chidgey. Chidgey is a New Zealander. My first author was an Australian. I did not do that intentionally, although the book is set in Britain. The Book of Guilt is set in an alternate 1979 in which the Allies didn't win World War II. Rather, the war ended in a murky truce between the powers. So as a result, the current government in charge is decidedly sinister. In the British countryside, 13-year-old triplets, Vincent, Lawrence, and William, are the last remaining residents of the Captain Scott Home for Boys. And each day they must take medicine to protect themselves from a mysterious illness called simply the bug, to which many of the former home residents have succumbed. A series of mothers, if you can call them that, tend to them and meticulously record their dreams. The narrator, Vincent, is innocent of the world and completely without guile. The children aren't allowed to watch TV news or read a newspaper. Those are for adults, Vincent tells us.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, he tells us that the grounds of the home are enclosed by a high flint wall with broken glass set in the top to, well, keep the boys safe from the outside world, right? Or is it the other way around? The facade of their normal upbringing begins to shatter when they start to socialize with three girls from a similar nearby home, and when they're allowed to visit the neighboring village where their presence is met with suspicion and hostility. If you've read Kazuo Ishiguro's novel Never Let Me Go, you are very definitely thinking there are similarities here. There are strong similarities. I found as well with Stuart Turton's The Last Murder at the End of the World. That being what it is, don't let it stop you from reading this book. And if you are in for a deep dystopian dive, read all three. And I recommend a book club do that. It's fantastic.
It's Catherine Chidgey is the author. The name of the book, The Book of Guilt. All right, Suzanne.
All right. So my next book is a memoir by someone who could possibly benefit from my last book.
There you go.
The book is called That's a Great Question, I'd Love to Tell You, by a woman named Elise Myers and published by William Morrow, an imprint of HarperCollins. If you aren't someone who uses social media often, you probably have no idea who she is. I discovered some of her content a few years ago, and I have always found her to be very interesting. She is often funny, often relatable, and sometimes very inspiring. She has a self-deprecating humor and ability to self-reflect in a very honest way that most people do not have. The book is a collection of stories from her past, along with some simple illustrations. She is someone who struggles with many of the same issues that I know I'm not alone with having experienced, such as anxiety, self-esteem, and others. I've always found her her to be very relatable, and I found her memoir to be as well. If you're looking to read about someone who doesn't have it all figured out but is giving it her best shot, this is a nice place to start.
The name of the book is The name of the book is That's a Great Question. I'd Love to Tell You by Elise Myers. All right. I put the check mark on the wrong one. My apologies. All right. Got it.
I have next a book. It is called The Woodcutter's Christmas. It is written by Brad Kessler, and it has beautiful photographs in it from the award-winning photographer Donna Ann McAdams. The Woodcutter's Christmas is a modern holiday classic, and it has been newly released in a gorgeous gift edition. And in the story, each year, a brother and sister look forward to the moment when their corner of New York City is transformed by the arrival of a Christmas tree farmer from far distant Vermont. He arrives suddenly, and each year departs just as suddenly, until one year when he doesn't appear at all. Years later, a snowstorm magically delivers the family to the farmer's door, and they will finally learn the woodcutter's story and why he no longer sojourns to the city. This is a touchingly told Christmas fable, beautifully juxtaposed with black and white photographs that illuminate the beauty of Vermont and the bustle of New York, while ultimately a meditation on what we discard and what we choose to treasure in this world. It is also a nostalgic visit to a Manhattan that now only exists in memory. And I should add that we are so lucky to have Brad and Donna Ann with us for an event this coming Thursday, which is the 20th of November. And they will be at the shop at 6 o'clock to talk about the beautiful new book.
Terrific. The name of, and it is beautiful, absolutely gorgeous. The name of the new book is The Woodcutter's Christmas by Brad Kessler. Photos by Dana Ann. Is it
Donna Ann.
Donna Ann Adams. McAdams, excuse me. Thursday, November 20th at 6 p.m. And very, very cool. All right, Suzanne.
All right. So my next book is actually a children's easy reader series. It's called The School of Monsters by Sally Rippon and published by Kane Miller. My girls are in first and fourth grades, and we have read our share of the leveled primer books. This series, which we discovered a few years ago, has really stood out to all of us. The stories revolve around this school filled with very unusual students as well as staff. It is a series intended to be read with your developing reader. The last word of each sentence is a different color from the rest, and the kids start off just reading that last word of each sentence. As time goes on, the kids get more familiar with the books and are able to pick up more of the words. At the end of each book, there's also a page of all the sight words that you've seen throughout the book. And the best part is they do a how to draw the main character of the book, which my kids both love. I love the way that these books engage the kids in multiple different ways. They tackle big topics like expressing your feelings and managing your moods in creative ways with the various cast of characters. And they promote quality time, truly engaging your kids with reading together. Whether you have a developing reader in your life or a developing artist, these books are ones I highly recommend.
It is, it's a whole series, and it's School of Monsters series, and it's by Sally Rippon. Okay. Connie Brooks.
So I have a mystery next. It's At Midnight Comes the Cry by Julia Spencer Fleming. Goes on sale today. And for those of you who've already read Julia Spencer Fleming, you know that the arrival of a new book is a treat. Though if you're new to the series, you should be just as excited. This is the 10th in the Miller's Kill mystery series. And I should point out that if you have already read these, you'll enjoy revisiting favorite characters, but the book certainly can be read and enjoyed all by itself if this is the first one that you come to. And in the story, we have former Miller's Kill police officer Kevin Flynn. who has disappeared while on an undercover mission to infiltrate an upstate New York-based white nationalist group. A New York State park ranger has also gone missing in the Adirondack Park. The two disappearances bring together a current Miller's Kill officer, the missing ranger's nephew, and a lawyer from the state's attorney general's office. Meanwhile, Reverend Claire Ferguson and her newly retired husband, the former police chief, Russ Van Alstyne, try to settle into life as new parents, which they are doing, but of course, quickly get embroiled in the mystery of the two missing officers. Mm-hmm. And everyone's hopes for a peaceful holiday season are imperiled. And we are so excited, it's another event, to welcome Julia Spencer Fleming back to Bat and Kill Books. And that is happening this Sunday, which is the 23rd at 2 p.m. in the afternoon.
Wonderful. A great author and a great event. It's Sunday, November 23rd at 2 p.m. Julia Spencer Fleming and the new book, At Midnight Comes the Cry, and we'll give out that information at the end of the segment as well. Suzanne.
All right. So my next book is another children's book. This is a picture book. It is the second in a series. It is called The Bakery Dragon and the Fairy Cake by Devin L. Kurtz and published by Alfred A. Knopf Publishing. Last year, one of the most adorable picture books released, which was The Bakery Dragon, about a young dragon who discovers that the golden treasure that he most loves is fresh baked bread.
I'm right there with him.
Yeah.
I'm right there with him.
Cannot deny the allure.
Starts with the smell, right?
That's the... I believe it is the smell that initially draws him in.
Brings you mm-hmm. in yeah.
And so in this book, we revisit the bakery dragon as he learns a new skill. How to bake a cake. It is a sweet tale about trying new things and making new friends. And the illustrations are beautiful. It is just such an inviting and adorable cast of characters. And I am a fan.
Bakery Dragon's one of those. We have posters in our restroom, you know, at the bookstore.
Yes.
And that's when people will come out of the bathroom and go, where's that book? I need to look at that
book. Yes.
I need the one with the cute dragon.
With the cute dragon.
The Bakery Dragon and the Fairy Cake by Devin L. Kurtz. And that sounds beautiful. All right. Connie.
So I have a couple more selections. You know, this time of year we get asked, what are we giving for holiday gifts? What books are we giving to family and friends? And so I brought a couple of those selections. And the first is a picture book. It's beautiful. It's called The Old Sleigh. And it is by the siblings Jarrett and Jerome Pumphrey. This is a picture book that feels very much in the vein of The Oxcart Man by Donald Hall, which was illustrated by Barbara Cooney, or a classic picture book like The Year at Maple Hill Farm by Alice and Martin Provenson. It has a similar sensibility and color palette to it. And in this one, on winter nights, an old sleigh delivers firewood, bringing warmth and light to a small town. But small towns get bigger and families grow. And when the old sleigh is overwhelmed, a new sled and a new generation carry on the custom and ensure the town is warm and bright. And I also like it because it's not overly any one particular holiday tradition. It's just a seasonal book that is lovely and heartwarming and really just makes a lovely gift.
Wonderful. That is Old Sleigh by Jarrett and Jerome Pumphrey. Okay, Suzanne.
All right. So the last book that I have brought is a book called Sonora by Jenny L. Walsh and published by Harper Muse. It is another historical fiction. It takes place during the 1920s, and it is about a young woman who leaves home to become part of a traveling act doing high dives on horseback. I don't know about you, but when I was a teenager, or no, I was even younger, when the movie Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken came out, and this book brought back the memories of just that desire to go and join the circus and ride around on horses and do crazy adventurous things.
Not the diving. I could leave the diving behind, but otherwise, yes, like
the bareback axe. Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. That would probably be more my speed than the high dives, but I absolutely spent time in my youth wishing I could run away and join the circus. And if you are someone else who had that feeling, this may be the next read that you're looking for.
Nice. Sonora is the name of the book, and it is by Jenny Walsh. All right, Connie.
So another one of these books I will be gifting this year, and thankfully my son is not listening because he's at school, so I am safe.
You're safe.
It is a book called The Icons of the Fantastic, Illustrations of Imaginative Literature from the Korshak Collection. This is edited by Amanda Zedner and David Brinley. This is a gorgeous book. It features a foreword by Guillermo del Toro, an artwork by artists from over 160 years of published works of science fiction and fantasy. The illustrations in the collection appeared on the covers of timeless novels such as the Tarzan series by Edgar Rice Burroughs and classic pulp magazines from the 1930s through the 1960s. There are illustrations of mischievous satyrs, ethereal mermaids, and spell-casting witches for stories ranging from The Tempest, Don Quixote, and Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. This is great for the artist in your life, the fantasy fan, and it's just a beautiful gift edition.
The name of the book is Icons of the Fantastic, and really, really cool. All right. What else is going on?
Well, it's a busy month. We have a slew of events this month, the ones that I already mentioned. Plaid Friday is a big one. Plaid Friday is kind of the small independent business answer to Black Friday. And it is just a reminder to folks when you are spending those holiday dollars to spend them locally. We celebrate Plaid Friday, which is the Friday after Thanksgiving, by rewarding anyone who wears plaid to the bookstore with a discount. Small Business Saturday is the Saturday that follows. We also have specials.
Who doesn't wear plaid in Cambridge?
I do. That's a good point. Is pretty much everybody, but hey, we'll celebrate.
I don't know. When I moved to town like 40 years ago, I just got all these plaid shirts, and that's all I've been wearing, and khakis, and that's all I've been wearing.
And you're a local. It's just staring
that's right.
You know, automatic.
All right. And now I get a discount?
On one day.
Yeah, okay. All right. I like it. That is Plaid Friday, followed by
Small Business Saturday.
All right.
That Saturday, which again is another attempt to keep those dollars local as much as you can. We'll have specials. And then another event I'm particularly excited about this year, Sunday, December 7th at 11, we will be doing a reading of The Polar Express for the little ones. And we have beautiful silver jingle bells to
give out. I was so excited when those came in. Oh, they're so fun.
They're very fun.
With jingle bells.
With jingle bells.
Let me just remind you of two other events coming up. One, the first one coming up this Thursday, which is The Woodcutter's Christmas by Brad Kessler with photos by Donna Ann McAdams. That is Thursday, November 20th at 6 p.m. at Battenkill Books, followed by Julia Spencer Fleming. At Midnight Comes the Cry is the name of the book. Now, am I right? My brain tells me, in talking to Julia, that she was from Argyle. Is that true?
Yeah. So the series, I should have mentioned that. The series is set in Washington County.
Yeah.
She spent a lot of her teenage years in Fort Anne and the Argyle area. She lives in Maine now, so it's a bit of a trek for her. But And the stories are full of local references, and they will feel very much of our neck of the woods.
Yes. Oh, very Washington County-ish.
With plaid.
Yes, with plaid, indeed. At Midnight Comes the Cry is the name of the new book, Julia Spencer Fleming. That's at 2 o'clock on Sunday, the 23rd, this coming Sunday. You can find information about all of this cool stuff by going to battenkillbooks.com, battenkillbooks.com. And also, you can see the full list posted on our website as well, wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable. Suzanne Kulik and Connie Brooks, a delight to have you both here. Thank you very much. Have a beautiful Thanksgiving and holiday season.
You too.
You
Thanks,
as well, Joe.
Thanks so much. Again, you can find out more by going to battenkillbooks.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.